Good morning, Lillooet, and welcome to another day of live broadcasting here on CHLS 100.5 FM. My name is Jeff O'Kelly. This program is Snooze Button, and I will be with you until 9 o'clock. We started with some very gentle music by Paraguayan composer Agustin Barrios. Haven't played him in a few weeks here on Snooze Button. That was the first movement, the prelude, that comes from a set of three pieces called La Catedrale, the Cathedral. And that piece actually was not originally intended for putting in that group. In fact, he just wrote this piece, the prelude that we just heard, as a separate piece. Originally it was called, and I'm going to have to try to pronounce Portuguese here, Saudade or Saudade, depends on whether you're speaking European Portuguese or Brazilian Portuguese. In this case, it would be Paraguayan Portuguese, but probably closer to Brazilian Portuguese. And Saudade or Saudade is a word it's one of those tricky words that doesn't have a direct translation in English. Apparently, Barrios wrote this piece for his wife. And I'll just read you a little here. This is, I freely admit, from the Wikipedia article. It says that the word describes a deep emotional state of nostalgic or profound melancholic longing for an absent something or someone that one loves. Moreover, it often carries a repressed knowledge that the object of longing may never return. A stronger form of saudade may be felt towards people and things whose whereabouts are unknown, such as a lost lover or a family member who has gone missing. I don't think that translation of the word applies in this case, but a sense of longing. And Barrios did a lot of concert touring, and so perhaps it was written while he was on one of his concert tours and his wife was not with him. But after writing it, and then writing these other two pieces that form the remainder of the suite, he decided to put everything together to make the whole suite, La Catedrale. When I say the whole suite, it's only three pieces, and they're very, very short. That was a recording with Canadian guitarist Jeffrey McFadden, and we will hear the other two movements of that in a few minutes. Right now, though, it's time for weather and road reports. I've got lots of tabs open here on Firefox, because I've been doing research on all sorts of things this morning, some of them related to the show, some of them not, some of the music, some of them not. But let us do the weather thing. Yesterday's low 6.4, the high 22.7. I think we were predicted to make it to 24 yesterday, though by 11 a.m. Environment Canada had revised that down to 21. The clouds just never would quite go away. Late in the afternoon, the cloud cover cleared enough that I had nice sunshine streaming in my west-facing window, but that was it. Still, it wasn't a bad day by any means. As of 7 a.m. this morning, the temperature 12 degrees, warm enough and no wind, so I felt like it was a good day for a bike ride in. Environment Canada tells us today cloudy, a 40% chance of showers this morning, then a mixture of sun and cloud. Wind from the south at 20 kilometers per hour late this morning, a high today of 26 degrees, the UV index at 6, which is high. We're still looking kind of, again, like we're going to get very heavily filtered sunshine today. I'm not really sure about that yet. Tonight, partly cloudy, wind from the south at 20, becoming light this evening, a low tonight of 13 degrees, and then Environment Canada promises us warmer temperatures tomorrow. Wednesday, mainly sunny, wind from the south at 30 kilometers per hour in the afternoon, then becoming light in the evening, a high tomorrow of 31 degrees. Thursday, sunny, a low of 15, a high of 30. Friday, cloudy and windy, and that's rare for them to indicate that far ahead on the schedule that a particular day will be windy, so they must know something we don't. Friday predicted to have a low of 17 and a high of 22, and Saturday cloudy with a 60% chance of showers, a low of 11 and a high of 16. Taking a look at conditions across the country and around the province, I'm going to stick with St. John's, Newfoundland all this week in giving these temperatures because my good friend Olivia, who some Lillooetians know as well, Olivia is in Newfoundland this week, just having a vacation and doing some birding. Anyway, St. John's, mostly cloudy and 5 degrees. Montreal is 11 degrees and mostly cloudy. In Toronto, it's cloudy and 13 degrees. Iqaluit, warming up, minus 2 and mainly sunny. Winnipeg, light rain and 5 degrees. Saskatoon, 5 degrees and mainly sunny. Yellowknife is mostly cloudy and 2. Edmonton is at 9 degrees and sunny. Calgary, partly cloudy and 7. White Horse is 4 degrees and mainly sunny, and Prince George is, the temperatures are missing there. No information. I guess their instrumentation is down. A little closer to home, Clinton has a light rain, 5 degrees there. Hope is 12 degrees and mostly cloudy. Kamloops, the same conditions, 10 degrees in Pemberton. And in Vancouver, it is mostly cloudy and 15. And for the highways, just notes for Highway 1, ditching today, actually through Thursday, from 10 kilometers east of Lytton to 12 kilometers east of Lytton, so just a couple of kilometers there of the highway. That work is 7 a.m. to 3 p.m., and single lane alternating traffic where that's going on. And the other note is the paving note, that there is paving occurring somewhere for a 27-kilometer stretch of the highway between Cache Creek and Kamloops. I'm not going to give you the details because they're confusing anyway. That work is 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., carries on all the way through June 30th, and single-lane alternating traffic where that is going on. And that, yes, that is it for the weather and roads. Let's go back to Agustin Barrios, whose dates, he was born in 1885, died in 1944. I've played a lot of his music here before on Snooze Button. I think he's just got a really individual voice that I, and a very beautiful musical voice as well that I like the sound of. About this suite of three pieces called La Cathédrale, the Cathedral, it's said to be based on a personal experience of the composer, although, as I just explained, that would apply only to the last two numbers in the set. And it's not much of a story here, but I'll read you from the program notes. It says, finding solace near a quiet church in the bustling city of Montevideo, Barrios was inspired to compose the Andante Religioso with its chorale-like textures and plaintive harmonies. And then the following movement, which is marked Allegro Solemne, although I think I've also seen it printed as Solenne, but anyway, fastish but in a solemn mood, is said to represent his return to the noisy soundscape of the city. So there you go. That's what's behind this. Not much else to tell. And let's hear once again Canadian guitarist Jeffrey McFadden. That's music by Agustin Barrios, the Paraguayan-born composer and guitarist. We've been listening to the set of three pieces that form a little suite called La Catedral, the Cathedral. That's a recording by Canadian guitarist Jeffrey McFadden. And I like that set of pieces well enough, but there are other pieces, the more sort of dance-based pieces by Barrios that I think are more attractive. All right, it's 8:14. Let's see. Let me tell you what's coming up today on Radio Lillooet. When Snooze Button wraps up, I will leave you with the, let's see, today is Jazz Blues Soul playlist. A little later this morning, 10 a.m., you can hear People of the Land with your host, Rosalind Narcisse. And then later this morning, roughly between 11:25 and 12:15, student broadcasters Grayson William can be heard from Studio 1 in Lillooet Secondary School. Later this afternoon, Democracy Now! From 3 until 4 p.m., and then this evening at 7 p.m. will be an encore edition of Music for the Middle Ages with your hosts Jim and Aura. If you'd like to find all the details of our schedule, you can check the website radiolillooet.ca. You can also find many programs posted there in podcast form and a link to live streaming Radio Lillooet. Okay, not much bird news this morning, but a little bit. Let's see. Just a couple of anecdotal things. First of all, I'm getting far more visits by brown-headed cowbirds at my feeders this year than I have in previous years. They've always hung around in my general area in the previous years. I've seen and heard them many times, usually out my front door, but not hearing them or not seeing them as often in the feeder area. But they're really showing up a lot right now. And this morning, a couple of male brown-headed cowbirds were having a mortal combat it looked like in there, although they did eventually break it up and both of them flew away. But they seem to be particularly contentious at this time of year. Also, people, not Lillooet people, but other people in BC or in Washington have reported to me that they seem to be getting more hummingbird visits than usual this year, and I have noticed the same thing at my feeders. Curious if anybody else here in the Lillooet area has spotted that. That's just a couple of things, but I also wanted to mention that the chipping sparrows have arrived for the summer. Lots of chipping sparrows in the Lillooet area. They seem to be sort of a habitat generalist. They're not limited to necessarily riparian zones or forest zones or anything like that. They just kind of show up everywhere. Beautiful little bird, and I'm not going to try and describe it now. You can look it up online, but we're just, as of yesterday, was the first time I was hearing them, and then I heard them again this morning as I was biking in. So I thought I would play the song of the chipping sparrow to you so you know what to listen for. I started it again by accident. The chipping sparrows in our area sound a little different from that. They have a much drier quality to their tone. The thing I notice about the chipping sparrows in our area is that when they start doing that series of chips, fast chips, sort of a trill it's usually called, they start it off fairly quietly, and then it gets a little bit louder as it goes on, and then it has a very abrupt cutoff at the end, and they seem to go on a little longer than that one was. You also heard a western wood peewee, and I think a Stellar's Jay in the background there. And the other thing I wanted to mention was related to ospreys, not the Lillooet ospreys, but the ones I've been checking out in Nelson, B.C., an Osprey webcam there at, what's the address, columbiawireless.ca. And for over the weekend, there were definitely only two eggs in the nest. As of this morning, I saw three eggs in the nest. So that's interesting to note. It is, in fact, the way that what ospreys do is that they do lay eggs sequentially. And that ensures that the firstborn chick ends up getting most of the resources. And it usually means that there's greater success fledging in the fledging rate, at least for the firstborn chicks. I thought that ospreys and eagles normally only produced two chicks per year, or fledged two chicks per year. Did some reading on that online this morning and learned that it kind of depends on what food resources are available and also, of course, what predators are around. But studies would seem to suggest that when they don't raise their full clutch, it's usually due to the loss of an egg rather than to the loss of one of the chicks. But I just wanted to mention it because anybody who is following either these ospreys or, of course, our ospreys here in Lillooet, it's be careful not to get too emotionally invested in these birds, particularly in the chicks, because when there is a loss in the family, so to speak, it can be emotionally devastating at first. So just kind of maintain a slight degree of detachment if you can from that. It's just nature taking its course. Let's see. That takes care of ospreys and chipping sparrows. Good. That's all the bird stuff I wanted to do. Let's go to some violin music, and we're going to hear music by Pablo de Sarasate. I haven't played by anything by him for a bit, and definitely haven't played the Zigeunerweisen in quite a while. Zigeunerweisen, Tales of Gypsy Life. I guess that's about the best I can do in terms of a translation. Or Gypsy Airs, it's also translated sometimes as. This is a work for violin and orchestra. Pablo de Sarasate, born in 1844, died in 1908. He was one of the greatest violinists of his age, certainly one of the most brilliant and virtuosic as well. And I think I mentioned before, he is even so famous that he was mentioned in a Sherlock Holmes story. This is probably de Sarasate's, or Sarasate's. You shouldn't actually put the "de" before that. This is his most famous piece, and has been recorded a gazillion times by lots and lots of violinists. I particularly like this one, this recording. It's with Isaac Stern playing the violin. I can't say for sure. I think he is playing with an unnamed orchestra conducted by Franz Waxman, who was better known as a Hollywood composer, though he also wrote a famous piece for violin and orchestra, the Carmen Fantasy. We'll listen to that one of these days. And I think this recording comes from the late 1940s or mid-1940s. 1946 is the date that's given here. It's a little unclear in the booklet with the CD as to when it was recorded. So the sound is in mono, but it's in very, very good quality for its time. The main thing to listen to here is, well, Isaac Stern would have been a youngish man when this was recorded, and his technique was absolutely phenomenal, but also just the big tone that he produces on his instrument. Part of that, of course, is based on how things are mic'd when the recording was made, but a great deal of it does actually have to do with the violinist himself. So here's Isaac Stern with music by Pablo de Sarasate.
Thank you.
That was music by Spanish composer Pablo de Sarasate. We've heard his piece called Tigoynoweisen. It kind of makes you wonder why a piece by a Spanish composer about Eastern European, or that is in an Eastern European gypsy style, is given a German name, but there it is. Maybe that it was a German publisher, I'm not sure, but that is the name it's most often known by. But Gypsy Airs or Gypsy Life or something like that is how that can be translated. Not really life. I think Gypsy Airs probably works better. That was Isaac Stern playing the violin, 1946 recording, and an unnamed orchestra conducted by composer, Hollywood composer Franz Waxman, who I almost called Franz of Waxman, but I'm confused. It is 8:31. Just before I give you some public service announcements, one other thing I forgot to mention. This is not bird related. On the Today's Guardian website, the homepage, that's the British version, not the North American version, you can see an article called "How to Eat Nachos," which I think most of us know, you know. But I think they're since nachos don't involve a lot of cooking, they were suggesting more about how to make nachos than actually the process of consuming them. If this were, it'll be interesting to see how the comments section develops on that. Nobody was downright hostile, but I'm kind of surprised because there were some suggestions in there that just kind of left me going, what? But anyway, if you like articles about food, it's reasonably interesting and it will probably make you hungry. Okay, let's start with the pool schedule for today. Aquafit class from 9 until 10 a.m. And that runs on Thursday mornings from 9 until 10 as well, Tuesdays and Thursdays. Later today, everyone welcome, 10:30 to 11:30, lane swimming 11:30 until 1. Everyone welcome, 3:30 until 5, and lane swimming from 7 until 8 p.m. Let's see, the second of the three classes on navigation basics is going on at the Rec Center tonight. Tonight's class, using a compass, how to read a compass and apply it to maps. And the cost, there are two sessions left, the one tonight and one next week, $15 for all three sessions. I suspect it's, I don't know if it'll be the same now or if you just want to take one or two of them. For that information, you should get in touch with the Rec Center at 256-7527. The class runs from 6:30 until 8, and next week, same time, is how to use a GPS unit and learning about geocaching and route planning. And all of that is relevant because of some summer hikes that are going to be sponsored by the Rec Center later in the year. June 24th, a day hike to Peanut Lake or Lake Lemaire. July 12th, a day hike to Blowdown Lake with an introduction to backpacking. And then later on, let's see, another one probably to Downtown Alpine Meadows. One into the Shoelaps, and then maybe a multi-day, looks like a multi-day backpacking trip scheduled in August to Spruce Lake. And a minimum of 8 people is required for any of these hikes to go ahead. All the hikes guided by Wayne Robinson, and if you'd like more information, get in touch with the Rec Center at 256-7527. And finally, just a reminder of the Funky Flower Pot Contest that's going on. This is a contest between Clinton and Lillooet, and it is a contest to see who has the funkiest flower pots. So if you've got special super-duper things you've got at home, decorated flower pots or specially shaped ones or some amazing piece of flower pot sculpture you've created or something like that, take pictures, send your email entries to pictures@lillooetbc.ca, and you can also drop your photos off at the district office. The deadline is July the 12th. You can view the entries at the district office or online at lillooetbc.com, and you can vote at the district office as to which ones you like best. And this event is also sponsored by, in addition to the District of Lillooet, sponsored by RevitUp, Timber Mart, and Lillooet Feed and Garden. And that's all I've got for the public service announcements. Let's see, I don't play music by Gustav Mahler here all that often on the show. I'm a huge fan of Mahler and his symphonies, and songs for that matter. But I don't play it too often because he has a reputation for being heavy, and I'll admit that that's true when applied to some of the movements. This is advanced music, but in no sense avant-garde or even modern music. It comes from the turn of the century, not the most recent one either. Going back to 1901, 1902 is when this music was written. And so I thought we would listen to the third movement of Mahler's Fifth Symphony today. The trick with getting to know Mahler, especially if you're afraid of heavy music or long music, is to pick and choose your movements or your symphonies wisely. Yes, indeed, there are some very heavy symphonies by Mahler or very heavy movements, but there's also a lot of light and joy and humor to be found in his pieces as well. This third movement from the Fifth Symphony is the Scherzo movement of the symphony, and this is kind of a schizophrenic symphony. It was actually described that way. The first two movements are dark and rather foreboding, and then the remaining three movements, things change and it turns to a much lighter, not light in the sense of operetta or anything like that, but light compared to what went before. The nature of the piece changes. So it really is kind of a journey from darkness into light for this particular piece. The third movement is, as I say, it's the scherzo, but it is also kind of a little miniature horn concerto, although not all that miniature, ranges between 17 and 20 minutes, depending on who's conducting, but provides a very prominent part for the first horn, French horn of the orchestra. And actually, Mahler, in correspondence with the Dutch conductor Willem Mengelberg, who was well known for his conducting of Mahler and who Mahler recognized as a good composer or a good conductor of his own music, in correspondence with Mengelberg, Mahler suggested the idea of having the first horn player stand out in front of the orchestra for this movement in order to play the solo part. And the recording we're going to listen to, that's actually been done here, which is kind of a neat idea. I listened to this piece a couple of times on the weekend and then again yesterday afternoon in preparation for playing it today. And when I went to bed last night, the themes of this movement just kept coming up into my head without my trying to think of them. They were just there for me. Anyway, I think it's really fun. The movement is kind of what's known as a Ländler, which is sort of the country cousin of a minuet. A minuet is rather courtly and stately, and it was more of an aristocratic dance, whereas the Ländler in Austria was more of a countrified version of that, but still in a triple meter, three beats to the bar. Having said that, I think I've said pretty much all I need to about it. We're going to listen to a recording here with the Berlin Philharmonic and their, well, not newly appointed, but it's several years ago appointed new music director, Sir Simon Rattle. I know a great dirty joke about Simon Rattle, but I'm not going to tell it here on the air. You may apply to me privately if you wish to hear it. Anyway, here they are with the music of Mahler, the Symphony No. 5, third movement. Thank you.
Thank you.
That was music by Gustav Mahler. Now you know my opinion or my idea of what constitutes relatively light music. Yes, that really is sort of. We heard the third movement, the Scherzo, that comes from his Symphony No. 5 in C sharp minor. That was a recording with the Berlin Philharmonic Orchestra playing, and Sir Simon Rattle was conducting. Unfortunately, the solo horn player in that recording is not named for some reason on the CD. I think that's a real shame. All right, the time is 8:55, and we're going to throw in an encore. We're going to have a little bit of piano music. Haven't heard the piano yet today, and we're going to listen to some music by Liszt, something to kind of cool things off after the excitement of the Mahler. We're going to listen to a piece called Les Jeux d'eau de la Villa d'Este. This is the fountains of the Villa d'Este, a set of fountains in, I believe, the Villa d'Este is located in Rome. Although there's probably more than one villas that belonged to the Este family. But this is the one that Liszt was inspired by to write this music. Comes from fairly late in his career, I believe in the 1860s or 70s. And it's just essentially impressionistic water music. Lots of rippling and beautiful stuff like that going on. We're going to, listen to a recording by a British pianist named Mura Limpani. She was actually born Mary Gertrude Johnston, and it was somebody, an agent along the line, that suggested to her she change her name to make it sound more exotic. So she took the first name Mary and changed it to Mura, and her mother's maiden name had been Limpany or Limpenny, and she changed that, the spelling of that, to make it look vaguely sort of Russian or so. Something like that. But she was a great pianist and thankfully left us quite an extensive recorded legacy. So here she is with the music of Liszt. This is a recording, I think, from the 1950s, so it also is mono, but still in very good sound. That was a recording of Dame Moura Limpani, or Limpani, playing music by Franz Liszt. We heard Les Jeux d'eau de la Villa d'Este, the fountains of the Villa d'Este. And that was a recording from the 1950s or so, music by Franz Liszt. Okay, that's going to have to be it for today's edition of Snooze Button, but if you missed the weather at the top of the show, let me give you a quick recap for the next couple of days. As of 9 a.m., the temperature was at 16 degrees. I have the window or the door thrown open here and fresh air streaming into the studio and beautiful sunlight. Environment Canada tells us today cloudy, a 40% chance of showers this morning, though that's looking less likely now. Then a mixture of sun and cloud, high today of 26 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy, wind from the south at 20, becoming light this evening, and a low of 13 degrees. And tomorrow, mainly sunny and a high of 31. All right, that's it for me. I will say thank you very much for listening. I hope everyone has themselves a great day. Stay tuned now. I will leave you with the Jazz Blues Soul playlist.